Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Mike McDowd. And Russell Jackman is back in the studio, but on in his car this time. Let's see here. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a trivia question. Today's trivia theme is miscellaneous trivia. And Mike, who's our guest who has been on our show before?
He's a special guest. He's not just another guest. He's a great guy. We know him in the San Francisco Bay Area as one of the all-time great college basketball players. Let's take a little bit further. He has also became an incredible NBA basketball player. But besides that fascinating person, his name is Bill Cartwright. You know him. You love him. A former University of San Francisco Don, a New York Knick, and a Chicago Bull. He's come out with a new book. I promised Bill. I said, Bill, he said, hey, if I go on your show, you got to promise me that you'll have, there's his book right here, that you got to have me back to talk about the book. So, Bill, we're looking forward to having a great conversation with you and finding about your book and about your life, and we're going to have some fun with you. And one thing I know about Bill, he likes to have a little fun. So, hey, guys, can we just have a little fun today? Come on.
Today's a fun day. Absolutely. And Russ, I think you're in the car, aren't you? Because we hear a little bit of ruffling. So hopefully we can get you back on when your mic is good. All right. Let's see. When we also come back, I don't know if we're going to have time, but we'll talk a little bit about Sammy Sosa returns to the Cubs to enter the Cubs Hall of Fame. This is a story that came out a few weeks ago. I want to find out what you guys feel about that. And the NFL is looking to expand replay assist for plays similar to the Mahomes slide. Again, this is a few weeks old. Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl is coming up here. We'll see if we'll talk about that. Also, lastly, the Vanderbilt fans storm the court after upsetting Kentucky, and the school gets fined $500,000. This is the third time the fans have stormed the court or football field. Depends on whether it's basketball or football. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
Voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with my co-hosts Mike McDowell and Russell Jackman. Mike, we teased the audience with who our guest was going to be. Go ahead, reintroduce him, please.
If I must, I shall. You know, I've looking forward to having him on. We had him on, I think, back in November, and we promised once his new book came out, we'd have him back on. But his name is Bill Cartwright. Actually, James William Bill Cartwright is his full name. And he is really one of the greatest basketball players to come out of the Sacramento area. He is a guy that went to Elk Grove High School and grew up in that community. And really, I would say, and I think Bill will probably agree with me, lived the dreams, came from a hardworking family. His father was a farmer. I know that Bill, as a young man with his family, were in the fields picking grapes and blackberries. And so I think the reason I mention this, Bill, is because, yes, you became an amazing basketball player. You played for Elk Grove High School, 30-0, the Thundering Herd. And, you know, but that foundation of where you grew up, your parents being farmers, the foundation of hard work had to be the catalyst for your success, because you knew in order to be a successful person, Bill, that hard work was key. Is that about right?
Yeah, that hard work was key, but it was the sign of the times, because we lived out on the Bean Ranch. It was where we grew up. There was nothing out there but hard work, and that's kind of just what you did. But it was part of that community. It was a farming community, Elk Grove. So it wasn't abnormal. It was, and the whole family was out there working. So actually, to play sports was a pleasure. I mean, come on. We're shooting basketballs. We're inside. We had air conditioning. Measurably better than being out in those fields during the summertime. So,
well, and Elk Grove's changed quite a bit in the last 30, 40 years.
Oh, it's huge. It's,
yeah.
What was one high school in that area is probably now 13 high schools and numbers of grammar schools and junior high schools. So it's really rocketed that area. It's unrecognizable.
Mr. Cartwright, by the way, it's a huge honor to talk to you. This is Russell Jackman, and I've been a fan of yours since even your New York Knicks days. But but certainly.
Yeah, hey, Russ, can you speak a little closer to your mic?
I've got headphones.
Is that possible?
So I don't know how I can get me closer. They're in my ears.
Okay.
So I don't know what to do about that. I've got the volume turned up. I hear you guys fine.
Go ahead.
I've been a big fan of yours. Can you tell me what the transition was like to go and from being a huge star with the New York Knicks to then moving to Chicago, where, you know, you were second fiddle or third fiddle to Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen? What was that transition like for you?
Okay, well, let me help you. When I was in at USF, I played alongside with Winfred Boines, who was our leading scorer. James Hardy, who was our best athlete, remains one of the best athletes I ever played with. Marlon Redman, who played in the NBA. When I got to New York, Earl Monroe was on my team. Marvin Webster, had an opportunity to play with Bernard King.
Yeah.
I was already fiddled out playing the second or third fiddle.
Yeah.
With that group of guys, because they're pretty darn good. Later on in New York, we ended up with Patrick Ewing, Kenny Walker, and Mark Jackson. So it was just all part of playing a role. By the time I got to Chicago, I was the old guy, like 31. So I was really prepared to play a role because I had already been a team's leading scorer. I had already been an all-star, so to be able to play that role and be a starter again after playing in New York was terrific. So fortunately, we had a great cast of guys with, of course, Michael Pipp, Horace, and John Paxson, and the cast of characters just goes on and on, along with the best shooter on the planet, maybe still, Craig Hodges. So it was fun stuff.
Hey, Bill, let's bring it back home a little bit, because I think one thing that's very interesting, especially for the guys on our panel here, who grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, you played for a remarkable team back in the late 70s, days, the University of San Francisco Dons, ranked number one in the nation at one point. And really, they were the toast of the town. I mean, you were the biggest draw, you know, bigger than the Warriors. You're right up there with the Raiders. What was it like to play for such a story team? Let's face it, you played at War Memorial Gym. Every game was packed, sold out. You could not get a ticket. What was it like to take us back to that era? Because since you left, Bill, USF has never experienced that type of success.
Well, we're really very fortunate. We had a great coach with Bob Gaylord, and his assistant coach, Dan Bawami. Like I said, Winfred Boines, James Hardy, Marlon Redman. When I was a sophomore, we came back from a trip from Hawaii, and I think we're like 10 or 11 and 0. And we looked at the paper, and we were the number one team in the country. We were surprised. Like, wow, we are? And not only that, Sports Illustrated comes to town, and they're interviewing us. And it was pretty surprising to me that they ended up putting me on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I was very surprised. So and our Dons. So it was a super huge thing that we were able to, for most of the year at least, be the number one team in the country. And we did. We played great. We were 30-0. We were playing great, great basketball. But at the end of the year, we just fell short, which was still discouraging for me to think about that. But we played at a very, very high level, and I was just very happy to be part of that team.
Did anyone make any kind of comparisons between that, your Dons and when Bill Russell was on the team?
Because he was awesome. Those guys. Those guys were, you know, they won back-to-back championships, and they were really before their time with Bill Russell, Casey Jones, Mike Farmer. Those guys were amazing. And to just can't compare because they were just innovative. They're really fast. They can score. They can really guard. So, no, we can't compare that group.
Yeah, tell you what, we're going to cut to our commercial break where we have a trivia question. When we come back, we want to have you talk about your book. And then I also want to bring up how basketball has changed, because when you were playing and you had, you know, the nasty boys of the Pistons and how physical things got back then compared to now, how it's a lot gentler game. In my opinion. Okay, which is fine. At least guys don't get as hurt. Okay, first trivia question, and again, just as a reminder, if anybody knows the answer on our panel here, don't say anything until we get back from break. What was the first pizza chain in the United States? Okay, that's our trivia question. Email Edward at sportsecom101.com. We'll see who's the first person with the correct answer. What was the first pizza chain in the United States? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. All right, we'll be back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, our special guest, Bill Cartwright. All right, guys, now you can answer. What was the first pizza chain in the United States?
Let Bill go.
Well, I'm not going to say Shakey's Pizza.
Nope, not Shakey's Pizza.
I'm going to go with Round Table.
Round Table. Bill, what do you think?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. The Pizza Shack.
Pizza Shack. And Russ?
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. Actually, it is Pizza Hut.
Oh, jeez.
Pizza Shack. Very close. Very close. Okay. But Pizza Hut. That is. Yeah. Okay. So, Bill, you tell us about your new book. I love that you showed it to the audience on YouTube. Will see it, but the audience in the...
we'll see it again.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, Living Life at the Center. I love that. That's a great title.
At the Center.
All right. Tell us what's it about.
This is a autobiography of me, and you had talked about growing up on the ranch, but it really reflects a lot on my parents, how they grew up, what the times were, how my dad and mom were visionary enough. My dad grew up in Texas. My mom grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How they both ended up in California to improve their lives, that vision, how they met, where we lived, talks a lot about our relatives and what was going on at those times. And then now, here's a story, here's my story, where growing up, high school, what it was like to go to Little Elk Grove High School, how can Elk Grove High School be the best team in Sacramento. Can you win them all? Yeah, you can, because when I was a junior, we were 30-0. And when I'm a senior, we win Northern California Championship, Little Elk Grove High School. I went to USF. We talk about that. And then now, here's a guy from Elk Grove, California, to San Francisco. Now he's in New York City, if you can believe it. Playing with Earl Monroe and playing against the guys he's got on posters on his wall. I used to have Kareem on my poster on my wall. Here he is. I'm playing against him.
Yeah.
And the times we had there, the coaches we had, living in New York City, which was pretty super cool. And then all of those lessons I learned there, I ended up, you know what, with the Chicago Bulls. I thought I'd never be traded. I end up getting traded to the Bulls, to this young team that is like, wow, going with these guys. And of course, as Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, when I got to Chicago, our coach was Doug Collins. And right after that, boom, here's Phil Jackson. So that journey, that 6-year journey to overcome the dreaded Detroit Pistons, and win a championship. 6 years there, and played 1 year in Seattle. I forgot about that. 1 year in Seattle. Came back, graduate school at USF. I was going to be a business guy, and then I got talked into coaching from Jerry Krause. And then here I go back again. Now I'm coaching for the Bulls. Ended up coaching in Jersey, ended up coaching in Phoenix, came all the way back, ended up coaching in Japan, yeah. Ended up coaching Mexican national team. And then just making this full circle back to working at USF that I've been with for the last 10 years. So it just talks about that journey, that lesson. And it kind of questions the fact of how many decisions you're really making, because I've never really looked for a job. I've always been directed to a destination and kind of read the signs in the road and just ended up there. So, you know, I'm a big believer in where I am is where I should be. And so there you go.
I find fascinating. I find fascinating is, you know, you don't see too many centers as a coach, you know, in as coaches.
Not anymore. Just,
It's kind of interesting. It's like a lot like in baseball, but a lot of times you see catchers, you know, because they could see the whole field and they become managers. And I'm just wondering, you know, as a center, you know, how you see things maybe differently than a point guard or, you know, power forward. It's like, you know, like what happened? How did you get the coaching job? I mean, obviously you're intelligent, but you know,
there was the league was made up of Mike Phil Jackson coached, Dan Issel coached. Having a center being the coach was not abnormal then, because for one thing, you only had three assistant coaches. Now, you know, you can have 10 of them, I guess, along with the list of guys behind the bench. But, you know, you had your coach. Everybody had a big coach. You had a guard coach, and you had a veteran coach. Now the league is made up. It's all guards. If you look at the NBA right now, they're all little guys coaching the league, which explains why they're doing what they're doing. So it's like, why doesn't the league post up? Well, who's going to teach it? They're all guards. So it's just part of the evolution of basketball. Basketball has always changed. It's gone faster. It's gone quicker. It's everything's different about it every decade. So hopefully they'll get back to throwing the ball inside to what makes sense to the rest of us. But for right now, it is what it is.
Yes. Can I ask you, let me ask one quick question here. When did you get your growth spurt? How old were you when suddenly you started, you know, growing quite a bit?
Always. So always. There's, I tell this story in the book that when I was in sixth grade, I was 6 foot tall.
Oh.
So I remember trick or treating. I think that was the last year when I was in the line. I was getting candy, and the guy's like, "What are you doing here?" And I was telling him, "I'm a kid. I want some candy."
Yeah, 6 foot kid.
That was the last time I went trick or treating because I thought I was an adult.
Yeah, do you know when the last time I went trick or treating? I was 50. I said, as soon as I hit 50, I'm done. And then I had to start borrowing kids because my kids were too old. Go ahead, Russ. You're going to ask a quick question?
Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this question because I really wanted to ask you this my whole life if I ever got to interview you, which is that. Where did you learn your style for shooting free throws? When I used to play horse games, we used to do the Bill Cartwright free throw style and see if people could match that. I've always wanted to know where you got that free throw style from.
Yeah, don't do that. That's not something you want to follow. It's just something that just kind of happened. And it's interesting because when I look back on it now, when I was shooting that, I couldn't see or feel what I was doing. I was just shooting the ball, trying to get it in the basket. So it wasn't something that was intentional. It was just something that just kind of happened. And, you know, my form is changed, you know, over the 16 years. If you saw me in my first 5 years and my last five, you'd see a noticeable difference in how I shoot. So
did the coaches work with you on that, or is it something you just changed on your own?
Just something that kind of happened. No, and coaches didn't work on your shot back then. Coaches just put you in the game and just say, play or score or guard. Then it was kind of up to you to get it done.
Huh. Hey, Bill, quick question. One of the things about your game is, you know, when you're a big man like yourself, my father played at the University of Portland, a basketball player. And I can tell you that one of the things he always said, listen, if you're a center, use the hook. Nobody can defend the hook shot. Can you use that in your game? Talk about the importance of that and how difficult it was to defend. And obviously, you guys got guys like Kareem, who was a master at it. Talk about the importance of that shot and why today's players don't really use it, because it's a pretty tough shot to defend.
No, guys don't use it because they don't practice it. And it's, right now the league, really basketball is a jump shooting type of league. I mean, I've always felt better fundamental coaches, footwork. If you ask the guy now how to shoot a hook, they have no clue. So it's something to be taught. And I always view basketball as being in a play. You've got to rehearse yourself. You got to rehearse your shots, your moves. When I was in high school, we had a 25 shot routine that you'd go through every day. Hook, yeah, sure. Jump hooks, counters, jump shots, counters. So we would rehearse those routine every single day. They don't do that now.
Let's cut to, we're getting up to a break here. Okay, what is Europe's southernmost country? What is Europe's southernmost country? Stay with us. You're listening to the Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance. With state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is. So you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael is open for both takeout and delivery. So if you want pizza the way it ought to be, call us at 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order online. You can either pick up your fabulous pizza or we can deliver it to you. Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily. So call 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order your pizza.
Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa provides guests with an all-lakefront hotel in South Lake Tahoe, where every lodge room and condominium has a view of the lake and mountains. Hotel rooms offer lodge pine furnishings, gas fireplace, and a full lake view. Condominiums offer private bedroom, full kitchen, and living area with a fireplace. Guests can relax or play on over 500 feet of private beach and enjoy a dip in the outdoor heated pool and hot tub that are also lakeside. Element Day Spa, located inside the hotel, offers individual and couples packages with treatments inspired by Tahoe's nature. The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa, located close to all South Lake Tahoe summer and winter activities. Perfect for individual and group getaways to the lake and mountains. No added resort fees here. Call 800-448-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com.
Just minutes from LAX, the Lum Hotel offers travelers a comfortable and convenient stay in an exciting neighborhood. Its prime location provides easy access to major attractions such as SoFi Stadium, Hollywood Park, and the future home of the LA Clippers. You'll enjoy a fitness center, resort-style pool, and rooftop bar. The perfect spot for dining after a game, enjoying craft cocktails before a concert, or just having a casual dinner. The Lum Hotel just recently opened, so book your reservations now at lumhotel.com. That's L-U-M Hotel.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, our special guest, Bill Cartwright. Let's see here. Second trivia question. What is Europe's southernmost country? What do you think, guys?
Portugal?
Portugal? No. That's a good guess, though. That's one I probably would have guessed.
Southernmost?
Okay, you only have 160 countries to choose from. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, ready?
Italy. I don't know.
No, Greece.
Greece. All right.
So, Mike, you want to ask Bill a question about his book?
Yeah, we want to welcome, of course, Bill Cartwright to Sports Econ 101, heard border to border, and around the world with our U.S. military. And Bill, obviously, you have a love affair with your wife, Sherry. And I believe you met her in junior high school, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you wrote this book together, which I find fascinating. It's not often that a husband and wife work collectively together to, develop a labor of love. So what was that experience like to write this book with your wife? And obviously, she must be a heck of a gal to be married to you.
Yes, she is. So she tolerates me. I'm pretty much high speed all the time. So, it was really interesting because there was a lot of research done, especially about my parents. Try to remember times. Try to remember things like what was the population in Oak Grove at that time? And just trying to remember just a lot of little details about the book. So just a lot of time put in. What we discovered was that we actually tried to work with a couple of other people and got down a couple hundred pages, and I couldn't stand it. So we just decided to do it ourselves and be very basic with it. It was something we both had never done before. So it took probably almost 3 years to get it done. But it was really good. And just to be done, if anything else, because it's a never ending story. You always want to feel like you left something out. And I guess I still do, but we're just happy we were able to get it done. Get it to the market. And we decided to self-publish the book as well, because just going through that and finding a publisher was a real pain. We didn't feel like they were giving us not enough credit, but I don't feel like I'm every Joe Blow on the street. So I thought I could market this thing myself, and we are. So Living Life at the Center, it's actually on bills-cartwright.com. If you look it up, you'll see a smiling face of me there with the book, and you can actually order it online. It's been terrific. It's been a lot of people are curious about it.
Yeah. How are you promoting it?
Book shows? Sorry.
I mean, how are you promoting it? Obviously, like a show like this is one way to promote it, but how else are you promoting the book?
Well, newspapers. Instead of SAC newspapers, and Elk Grove newspapers. It's going to be in the Chronicle. It's going to be in the Trib. I'm going to be on different shows. We're going to do some book signings. We're going to do two in Sacramento. We're going to do one in San Francisco. We're going to do one in Hayward. We're going to do one in Oakland. So I'm going to be as active as I can. I've already done one in Chicago. So we're scheduled this month to do four.
Now, how do you do that, though? Who do you call to say, hey, we're going to be promoting the book and doing a book signing?
You call friends. You call people you know. You call people who are curious. And I've been really fortunate to have a lot of friends to help me out. And obviously the media, you know, I have still good friends in the media. And, you know, people are open. People are open to stories. So, especially in the towns that I play in. So we're just very excited to get it out there and just keep moving. So it's been fun so far.
Hey, let me ask you, because I was teasing the audience about this, and that I wanted to ask you about what it was like to play at a time when basketball was a lot more physical. You know, and I think about, you know, times with the Pistons, and, you know, like, I mean, I guess you'd have to go against Bill Laimbeer, and you know, he was the guy everybody hated him. You know, and the way things were so rough. How did you play them different? Because I remember like hearing the stories that you guys just had to get a lot more physical. That, you know, it's almost like you had to change your game in order to have that kind of competition. But you go ahead.
Well, it wasn't about us being more physical. It was about, because the Pistons lost. If we played the Pistons, lost them 2 years in a row. That's how they played. The Pistons were better than us. And people think the Pistons were a really good defensive team. No, the Pistons could score. They could really score. So we just had to play how we played and not worry about how they were playing. And once we were able to move the ball and able to put ourselves in positions to score and then now be able to guard them and stop them finally, we were able to overcome them. But you should think about this, is that we should thank the Pistons, because once we were able to overcome them,
yeah.
Won 3 straight championships.
Yeah.
So they really elevated our game enough to make us a championship team. So, yeah.
Good point.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, you won 3 as a three titles as a player, I believe 2 as a coach. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you have, what, 5 rings? What do you do with all those rings? That's not my question, but I just, well, what do you do with all those rings?
Well, most guys do nothing.
Okay.
Never wore them.
Russ wanted to ask a quick question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Real quick. You know, you've been around the game for so long. Talk about some of your relationships with some of the legends of the games. Did you get the chance to know Bill Walton, Will Chamberlain, Pistol Pete, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor? Did those guys have an influence on you at all?
Well, besides being on my wall, you know, I remember that when I was a kid, I had an opportunity to meet, well, obviously I had a chance to spend some time with Bill Russell. When I was in high school, I met Jerry West, Charlie Scott, Artis Gilmore. So, you know, to be able to talk with those guys were really confident in what they were doing. There was a sense of, yeah, this is in a situation. This is what I'm going to do. So that's what I got from those guys. They're really secure in their knowledge of knowing how to play. Yeah. And for me, you know, I talked about it before about being really well rehearsed. Mm-hmm. So that if you catch the ball on the floor, I know exactly what I'm going to do and how I'm going to counter it. And then defensively, it was all about learning how to guard. Because when I first got in the league in the NBA, I couldn't guard anybody. Mm-hmm. So it was a real lesson. And thanks to guys like Barbara Webster and Chuck Robinson, who taught me how to guard and get good position and think like your opponent. Later on in the NBA, when you can get films, we had things like a scouting report where you'd learn guys' tendencies and which ways guys turn. So it was a great learning lesson to be able to play and to be able, and fortunately I was you know, there was a role for me for the most part with every single team I played on. So I just tried to do that the best I could.
Yeah, I was a big Wilt Chamberlain fan when I was a kid. He was my hero. Willie Mays in baseball and Wilt Chamberlain in basketball.
As it should be. Yeah. He's an amazing athlete.
Oh, they're awesome. Yeah. Russ, go ahead.
Yeah. Who do you feel was your toughest head-to-head opponent that you faced?
You know, I never viewed guys as being tough because my whole thing was about coming the same way every time, good or bad. So offensively, I'm coming. And defensively, I was just going to use up a ton of energy. Now, there's a lot of guys who are really hard to guard, especially when you got in the league. And, you know, you're playing against Daryl Dawkins, and Daryl Dawkins was a beast to play against him. And then the next night, you get Artis Gilmore. Next night, you're going to get Dave Cowens. Next night, you're going to get Bob Lanier. And then you got Kareem rolling in. And then now you go to the West Coast, and now you got Dan Issel. And Dan Issel was hard to guard. He was driver right, but he could shoot. And Alvin Adams was really hard to guard. It's funny because when we played the Clippers, Bill Walton was out, so you get Swin Nader. Swin Nader was a great hook shooter. And so you really had to learn all those guys, how to play against all those guys, because everybody had a good center.
Yeah.
Right? Every single person. And even when we played Golden State when I was a rookie, you'd have Clifford Ray who beat the tar out of you, and then you had Robert Parrish coming off the bench, and he was angry because he was starting. So he's going to fire the ball up. So it was just a great learning experience to be able to learn how to guard all those guys. But the bottom line is that I was coming. The best, good or bad, but I'm going to come hard, try to play smart, play tricky. And luckily, for the most part, it worked out okay.
Yeah, Daryl Dawkins, I mean, they created the breakaway rim because of him. He broke two backboards in one game. Mike, go ahead before we cut to a break.
Bill, quick question. I've wondered this about an athlete like yourself. Did you ever, this may be a silly question, but I got to ask it. When you played the game of basketball, did you ever sit there and marvel at one of your teammates, the way they were playing? Or did you ever say, wow, this guy the Clippers is just going insane? Did you ever just sit there and just appreciate what was going on? Or could you?
Well, if I played against the guy, probably try to stop him. Especially if you're playing against San Antonio, you're trying to stop George Gervin. Or you're playing in Philly, you're trying to stop Dr. J. It wasn't any time to marvel at him. It's like, we got to stop this guy.
Let's get to our last commercial break here. All right. Last time we mentioned about the southernmost country, Greece. Well, now there's a question about the High School Musical, Greece. What was the name of the high school in the movie Greece? All right. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back with the closing comments.
You're killing me.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, our special guest, Bill Cartwright. Third trivia question, what was the name of the high school in the movie Grease? Anybody?
Lakewood?
No, Rydell High.
Okay. Rydell.
Bill Cartwright, former basketball player with the Knicks, the Bulls, and we found out the Seattle Supersonics. Bill, plug your book one more time before we have to cut to our break.
Living at the Center.
Living at the Center. Living life at the Center.
You can find this book. It's at bill-cartwright.com.
All right.
Check it out. You can order it online. Come right to your house. I think you're going to like it. Talks about obviously myself, my family, journey, full journey. It's all fun stuff.
Okay, well, thank you.
Living life at the Center.
Doing life at the Center. All right. Here's our thoughts for the day. So a hacker called me and said he had all my passwords. I got a pen and paper, said, thank the Lord. I said, what are they? And after my wife's credit card got stolen, I didn't report it to the police because the thief was spending less than my wife was each month. And then speaking of wives, my wife's female intuition is so highly developed, she sometimes knows I'm wrong even before I open my mouth. For us guys who have been married a long time, that kind of resonates home. All right, audience, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
Thank you, Bill. Great job.
So long.
All right, guys. Awesome. Great job. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Bill. We could have went on and on with you. It's ridiculous.
I know. You know? It's funny because we didn't get into anything else.
No Super next Bowl, time, nothing. It's okay. It's
all right. All that. I know. We cut off a little bit early here, and In fact, gosh darn it, we got about 20 seconds. The Vanderbilt fans storm the court after upsetting Kentucky, and the school gets fined $500,000. I mean, how is that? You know, how does a school protect from the fans jumping the security guards to run onto the court after, an upset like that? But anyway, that's the tune. All right, stay with us. Not stay with us. We're